ಆಗುತ್ತದೆ. ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಾಮನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾರಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾರಿ ಭಾಷಾಚಾರಿ ಸಕಾರಿಣಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. Much easier to do this in the presence of those who are disciples. I'm feeling embarrassed in the presence of my god brother and god sister. No, it's okay. It's not. You're here because you were invited. It's just I'm expressing my heart. It's just. Discussing with some god brothers who are turning grayer and grayer as the years pass. This is my 60th birthday. And one of the common questions I'm asked almost every conversation is, how is your health, Maharaj? I'm feeling great. I'm feeling young and invigorated. Not from management, that's for sure. But from preaching, from reaching out to people to try to get Krishna consciousness. It gives life. It sustains life. And what is some of my god brothers are saying, you know, we better do what we need to do now because, you know, after some years we won't be able to perform the same way. And others are saying, this is the prime of your life. Many persons, great persons, their most significant contribution is in this prime stage of life, and thinking about that, thinking of Srila Prabhupada. How old was Prabhupada when he came to America? He was born in 1896 and he came in 1965 and established ISKCON in 1966. Do the math. 70 years old. I got 10 more years of preparing. Prabhupada's lifetime of preparation was that first volume of Lilamrita. And all of you, by Krishna's grace, will live to be 60, 70, 80, and you're preparing, your life is now preparing yourself so you can also offer something of merit to the personality of Godhead. Just recently hearing the description of the deity of Ranganath and Sri Rangam. And of course it's Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu, lying on Anantashesh, but two of his hands, one are pointing to himself and the other are pointing to his feet, and the local acharyas say, this means surrender unto me, Mahamekam Sharanam. And that one means by approaching my lotus feet, and at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, of course, is the Goddess of Fortune, but the devotees of the Lord, by serving the devotees of the Lord, one can surrender to Krishna most effectively. I was thinking of this expression that people say about like Krishna Yogi, planning your life in such a way that you how to place those things that you value in your life first. Like Srila Prabhupada wrote in the Gandhi Memorial Ceremony, he was asked to be a speaker. And what he said was the way to honor a great person is not just to build a building and put the name of that person on the building, something memorial building, or make a statue of that person, put the statue of that person in a public square, so that the pigeons and crows can come and pass stool on it. But the way to honor a great person is to establish a community or an assembly of persons who uphold or demonstrate the values that that great person held. We'll come back to that point in a moment. That's what Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be. And looking back upon my life, or looking at this, there's this other expression that says, imagine yourself at your own funeral. And persons are coming forward and making some appreciation of that person who is now gone. What would you want them to say? That's another way of saying, you know, what are the values that you hold? What would you like people to understand? This person stood for this value, and their life was a demonstration of their holding of that value. In Sri Brahma Samhita, the Supreme Lord says to Lord Brahma, everyone in this world performs activities based upon something that they value in life. And so if you glorify a person's activities, those activities are expressions of their value, what they most value. So if we would want ourselves, any of us, to have some particular outstanding value that their life represents, certainly there should be great attachment and absorption in their spiritual master. Others have appreciated about Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers, that this, those that know the teachings of Rupa Goswami say in Sanskrit, Guru Parashraya. The outstanding quality of a devotee is Guru Parashraya. Because by taking shelter, ashraya, unto the lotus feet of the spiritual master, everything becomes possible. Like that interview with one professor in Your Ever Well Wisher, who was saying he couldn't understand these Hare Krishna people. They believed they could do anything. One of them told him that he was going to start a magazine. I asked him, what do you know about magazines? He said, nothing. I've read a magazine, but that's all he read, a magazine. But it's far more to publish a magazine than know how to read one. But he had full faith that he could do it. So I was pondering, how is this possible? And then when I made a visit to New York and I met the founder of this organization, then I could understand from that person, that was the wellspring of their faith, that they could do anything, simply because he said, then so it would be. Because of complete faith and shelter in the spiritual master. And from that one thing, all other things, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes about what the nature of faith is, Shraddha Shabdi Vishvastai Sudrita Nishchaya, by Krishna Bhakti, by developing devotion for Krishna, Sarva Karma Kritahoya, all other things will be accomplished. Whatever it is that you value in life, that will be manifest in due course of time by this one thing. So if there's one thing from which all other things should come, it's this one thing. Guru Padashraya. Or in the Bhagavad Gita language, Acharya Upasana. And that's what this Vyasa Puja Day is meant, to help, to assist those who have some faith, to nurture that faith, grow that faith, focus that faith upon a very, very important ideal. I want to go back to this community upon which the great person that you want to honor becomes manifest in this world. I've mentioned this many times, but there's no harm to mention it again. There's some devotees here from Gita Nagari on top of that. When Prabhupada was speaking about Gandhi, this, rather than the memorial building or a statue, was a community. And the community, he mentioned, was what are the ideals of Mahatma Gandhi, and Gandhi revered Bhagavad Gita, so establish a community that lives the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And then he started speaking about that village or Nagari and gave it the name, Gita Nagari. That was before he came to America. He had this vision of having communities like that. Not only where, so an embellishment is, not only where the Gita is taught, but where the values that Bhagavad Gita speaks of are embodied by the individuals themselves. From my perspective of what my service is, at least in this one particular capacity, because we have many different hats, the hat of the spiritual master of some persons who are looking for that particular shelter. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada, my service, as I see it, is to help expand that community or the network of loving relationships that embody the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And primarily here in North America, primarily in the United States, those number of places that I like to visit, feel encouraged to visit. And my function, my service on behalf of Srila Prabhupada's mission, glorifying Srila Prabhupada, is establishing those communities or networks of loving relationships. So I want to expand on that a little bit in the way of giving examples. When we'll look at the positive side and then the negative side. The positive side is when devotees, when new people who are, you know, in the category of perhaps curious, so they're just curious, what's this all about? When they come into the association of the devotees, they should see a nice example, not only hear the nice teachings, but they should see a nice example. They should see in the devotees the qualities that inspire them to think, wow, this is very attractive. This is something I'd like to take part in. something that just, this is some appreciation for some of you. As you know, recently in Mayapur, there were a group of devotees. We went on parikrama in Mayapur. And of those people that attended, there were a lot of new people. They're like parents of devotees and cousins of devotees and brothers and sisters of devotees, people that really had no contact with Krishna consciousness other than their brother and sister or their daughter and son or something. It was very new. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his teachings are very deep. And it's maybe a little hard for people to follow the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but just want to share this. This came, it got a letter from someone who had attended the yatra. It was Varsana Dasi's brother. Where's Nogan Ryan? Did he share with you about this? So, oh yeah, my brother-in-law asked me, you know, what did you take back from your visit to this visit to my yatra in Mayapur? He said, I don't know, what did you take back? And Ganga Narayan said, well, you know, deep appreciation of the merciful nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he wrote to me saying, I was thinking, I don't know, I haven't brought that back, but I'd just like to read what he said he feels he brought back. It's a very nice testimonial. First, a great appreciation, a spiritualized appreciation of his sister and his brother-in-law. Made a significant impact on my life, and they have displayed tremendous amount of patience and compassion. They never tried to push me into Krishna consciousness, but ensured I could see them from close quarters. I've steadily gotten attraction to their lifestyle, and I've been able to trust them enough to ask a few doubting questions every now and then. Did he show you this letter? Then, Association of Devotees. I've never seen a group of young, highly qualified, wealthy, bright young professionals who are so humble, polite, disciplined, and kind. The close association, trust, and simple love that they display towards one another makes the association look like a big family. Wow. He had never had any contact with devotees before, and that was his impression, if he only knew the real story. But that was his impression. What I mean to say is, well, there's certainly room for further purification and further qualifying ourselves for these nice appreciations. But the contrast between material society and devotee society should be like that. Not, here's a group of people that are, why do they behave this way? So he was, the next, as he was appreciating, there was some discussion about the qualities of a devotee, and he was looking inside himself and saying, I'm inspired by that. I think I'd like to work on a few qualities like truthfulness, cleanliness, silence, mildness, peacefulness, respectful, and eating only as much as I require. And now he's begun chanting. No association from zero to deep appreciation and in a happy mood taking up the practice of Krishna consciousness. I'll give a couple more examples, and what this is about is not backpatting, it's an idea of at least what I feel my responsibility is unto all of you and in turn unto Srila Prabhupada to create such a sangha. In Chicago during the 4th of July weekend we had a festival of the Holy Name and with Badahari present. It was wonderful festival. Just having Badahari's presence made it a festival. And on that 32-round day, Lal Gopal came to visit from St. Louis with some friends. You know, one of them was somebody who had never practiced Krishna consciousness, never been in association of devotees. And he came up to me afterwards, just like, you know, a real straightforward guy, stuck out his hand and said, "My name is, you know, what's your name?" "Like, hey buddy, where are you coming in from?" Like, and said, "I just wanted to share something with you. This is the 4th of July weekend. A bunch of my friends said, why don't you come with us to the beach?" And I thought, yeah, let's go to the beach. And then my friend Lal said, "We're having this festival of the holy name. Would you like to come to the festival of the holy name?" And I thought, what's that? I've been to the beach before, but never been to the festival of the holy name. So I'll check it out. That was like the level of interest was, yeah, check it out, curiosity. And when I came into the association of all of you, yeah, you just gestured at the crowd of people, he said something very similar to what Sri Ram said, Ganga Narayan's brother-in-law. "I've never been in the company of persons that are so caring and loving and appreciating, and I always received, I'm just this guy that was either at the beach or the festival of the holy name, but I was treated with such kindness and like I was just part of you all." And I didn't chant 32 rounds, but I chanted 20 rounds. And it was nice. And, you know, I can't promise I'm going to go back and chant like that every day, but this is, keep up the good work, guys. You know, very westernized young Indian professional, but it stirred his attraction for Krishna just by the qualities of the devotees. Another nice example is just yesterday I got a letter from Donna Kelly, Pritrashrava's wife, Donna Kelly. And those of you that know Donna Kelly, she's strong. She's a very capable personality, very strict, as is her husband, in their sadhana and their standards of purity. And Pritrashrava was the former temple president. And Donna Kelly was Pritrashrava's right-hand assistant. You know, very, very capable in managing affairs. So she was with us during this past... This is one of the nicest things I've heard in a long time. She said, you know, as you know, my husband and I have been in Chicago for a long time. We've seen things that were not as they are now, but by steadfastly, her words were methodical and very patient efforts, there's a sangha of Vaishnavas that have this wonderful quality of caring for one another, affection for one another, genuine loving feelings for one another. And since I didn't grow up in Krishna consciousness in that atmosphere, I really appreciate what you've been able to accomplish. And so, wow. You know, from Donna Kelly Mataji, it's a genuine appreciation. And something that just recently came up also where one devotee family, this is an important component in the kind of sangha that Vaishnava should have. Even when it comes to worldly things, there should be deep care for individuals. One family in the Chicago congregation recently, there was a potential very, very serious health problem in one of the family members, the husband, the father of the family. And they spoke to me in this recent visit to Chicago. Each of them said it at least six times, how much moved they were. They'd never experienced anything like this. where more than their own family, because their family is from South Africa. Their family from South Africa was so concerned because there was some kind of a tumor, and maybe it's cancerous. And, you know, very, very, could be, potentially, very, very serious thing. The congregation just stepped right in, took over the whole situation of cleaning the house and cooking and caring for everything, taking care of the kids, so that the wife, who was terribly distressed, could think straight and could just, you know, somehow manage to keep her mind on tending to the needs of her husband and not explode. And both of them said it. They were just amazed. They didn't ask for any of that. It just came. Care of the devotees. And there's other examples and other examples. These examples are just to describe a principle of what at least what I understand Prabhupada meant, that a dimension of a beginning of establishing communities which embody or dynamically represent the teachings of our founder Acharya. The business of our hearing and chanting and worshipping and studying and following is to develop some attachment for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And in that attachment, the qualities of a Vaishnava must be there. The real test is that one. And then there's another real test. Another real test, a sociological test, is that the children, this is something that we learned during the anti-cult movement days, that a cult is one that its membership only comes from other people. And the sociological dynamic is where the children embody the values of that religion. So for the children of our devotees to embody the values of their parents, attention has to go to the children. A very substantial amount of attention has to go to the children of the families who are practicing Krishna consciousness. Because, for obvious reasons, but the society in which the parents are trying to be Krishna conscious is very opposed to the principles that Krishna consciousness stands for. It's a fast current going the other direction. And the children are in a very impressionable stage of life, a formative stage of life, are getting moved by that current. So, as a community, Bhakti Tirtha Swami used to say, there's this expression that to raise a child it takes a village. Now, certainly it takes mother and father at least, but for values, for real character to be established, it takes many relationships, many persons who have deep caring for the child, so the child can see so many nice examples and they feel deep care and affection. One youth in one of the places that I visit, a teenage girl, shared this with me just a short while ago. She said, "There's something happening here. I feel loved by so many people. And I've never experienced like that before. And it's genuine. I even tested it." And it's genuine. Genuine caring. Wow. And she said, "I feel protected by that love." It's just, you know, even to hear someone intellectualize that kind of an experience from a teenager was impressive. But to speak of that they were actually feeling that. And then wrote something later saying, you know, "I meant it. I really feel loved and I really feel protected." That takes many devotees. It's not one devotee. Something I'm going to expand, one other point that I want to expand more elaborately this evening, but I'll touch on it now. And that is, a topic that I recently was discussing with Bhakti Chumaraj, and we both resonate very strongly on this, and that is the importance of Srila Prabhupada being at the center. And too much emphasis on the Diksha Guru disciple relationship, especially when we have a multiple guru system, can be very dividing for our international society for Krishna consciousness. We don't want to de-emphasize the guru-disciple relationship, because that's not going to be healthy either. But in that guru-disciple relationship, there should be strong encouragement and nurturing of the appreciation for Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya. It's the duty of the present spiritual masters and next generations of spiritual masters and those of you who are caring for devotees in different degrees. That relationship that you may have with them, or any of our gurus may have with disciples, very important relationship, very important, not to diminish that at all. Within the context of that important relationship, everything that we have and are and will be is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The whole of ISKCON, and everything that the deities, the kirtan, the books, the association, japa, prasadam, everything else, temples, and even temples may come later. That's a byproduct of that initial mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And how can one be ungrateful? How can one be so focused on one person that that person is eclipsed? And then going out over time, will we still have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness with Prabhupada as the founder acharya? That understanding is missed, and what will we have instead? We'll have fiefdoms or something. And then in between will be hostility and groupism and something that I touched upon yesterday evening, and this evening I'll speak more about it because I believe it's an important component of a guru-disciple relationship in ISKCON today and any time in the past and any time in the future. We'll speak about it some more. But it's part of this community, establishing communities, establishing relationships with one another that are representing the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. They're establishing loving relationships, expanding that network of loving relationships. We have a common father, our founder acharya. Another message that I wanted to share is, side by side with this groupism thing, to see it like a disease, like a plague, and don't participate in it. Pride is something that also one should not participate in. One should not let it enter one's heart, because pride will destroy anything good. There's this, I don't know which British author, some author said, pride goeth before the fall. Maybe it's Shakespeare, I don't know. But when pride enters the heart, that something very wonderful has happened in your life, something of value, some nice training, some nice association, some whatever it is that you appreciate. It came out into the discussion briefly yesterday evening, and again I want to amplify. If because of that having received something valuable, it makes you proud, you missed something very important, because the opposite of that, the protection against pride, is if something very valuable has been given, then you should use that in service to Krishna, in a mood of service, humble mood of service. And the humble mood of service goes to our founder Acharya. There may be so many other persons, your friends, your family, your teachers, your spiritual master. We're all part of Srila Prabhupada's family, and ultimately Guru Garanga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our founder Acharya. And the mood should be, if there's something that's been placed in your hand that's of value for service, with gratitude, with humble gratitude, accept that and offer it in service. If instead pride appears in the heart, very bad. Very bad. It will be very hurtful to you as an individual. Better you don't have that thing. Krishna may very well take that thing away, and worse. But that's not the fear. The fear is the offense that's made by being proud. Again and again and again, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur warned specifically on this point, because he was so brilliant. He attracted many brilliant personalities. And you could see in the hearts of these brilliant personalities is pride at how brilliant they are. So beware. There are many devotees here who are very well educated, and you have some position that was coveted for your life, and your parents were pushing you, and now you're in that position. You got it. And become proud because of that attainment, you'll fall. Whatever there is that is of spiritual value will be lost. And even that which is of material value will also be lost. So don't let that happen. Carefully guard against pride. And the antidote, one more time, is recognize that something that may be received is by the grace of Krishna, and that something should be used in service to Krishna and our society, our founder Acharya, the Sangha of the devotees, to further, as a humble service, to further the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, just sharing something that came, connects with this last thought, and it came from the visit in Mayapur. I think this is the third time I've taken groups of devotees through the places of Mahaprabhu's associates and his pastimes. This time, one thing that came out very strongly was what an amazing specific discussion we have. Amazing personalities. And they're really contemporary. I mean, certainly Srila Prabhupada, most contemporary, but just go up the line. Rinda? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his 3 billion names, chanting practically non-stop every day for 10 years, and doing nothing but complete absorption in the holy name. And then for the next 20 years, leaving that, going into the hell of Calcutta, and traveling all over the countryside and expanding the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by anything. What a powerful Acharya. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji, renunciation personified, and hearing the degree of renunciation and deep inspiration in the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Incredible. In human capacity, for austerity and renunciation. in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just go up the line. Just amazing personalities. And particularly Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on this point of how endowed was Bhaktivinoda Thakur to produce, as one of his children, a Naisika Brahmachari Ray of Vishnu, successor in the disciplic succession, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and, you know, in matters of government, in matters of intellect, in matters of preaching to the simple people, matters of performing sadhana bhakti on the level of the topmost stages of Vaishnavism that one knows, realizations, compassion, his literary capacity alone. He wrote over 100 books on Vaishnavism. It was like at the rate of 3 to 4 books a year, with 10 children and a government job and all the social obligations and his sadhana and his mission of reestablishing the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And what a powerful acharya that had a vision of a worldwide sangha of Vaishnavas when nobody even knew about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw it all. He wrote it. He spoke it. He did some things. One morning walk in Mayapur, when Prabhupada was speaking like this about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was similarly just like over the top, so excited about appreciating what a great acharya. So one of the devotees, when Prabhupada paused, he said, why did Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was such a powerful person, he understood the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did he not give that Krishna consciousness movement all over the world? He had the power to do it. And Prabhupada smiled and said, you have something for us to do. And in turn, Prabhupada left something for us to do. Minimally to maintain what he's established, but beyond that, to expand the chanting of the holy name, the glories of the holy name. So we have great responsible life before us to be examples of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, to be sanghas of Vaishnavas that extend ourselves, act amongst ourselves, not only kindness to new people, but the kind of loving relationships amongst one another that make being part of Krishna consciousness, even considering being part of Krishna consciousness, so inviting, you can't say no. That's our mission in life. Receive this mercy and extend the mercy in a very nice way. Following in the footsteps of our great acharyas, that's our life. And by following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas, that's the path back to Godhead. Just follow the footsteps. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.